I don't go much to these side meetings anymore, but I have been...
The way I, essentially, it's a funny and interesting thing last night, that Ed had called me, Ward, first night, so, that was referring to, but... He was so enraged by the gold system, he said, it's by the Republicans, he said, it's just people, they can carry it, and they carry the burden, he said, they work on it, he said, just to understand, he said...
One vote, if they had gotten one vote.
And I started wondering, if I should have seen somebody, I don't know, whether it would have done any good, or something, people, I don't think so, they could have done any good.
He's passed us out of proof.
But what I was trying to say is this, that he, I steered him, it's, they assure you that, problem you've got, first looking at the news, not something, their line is that critics do not believe, first, that, the current Vietnamese really are underweight until they see how the election come up. It's unbelievable. And second, they don't believe that, after the election, we would get the impression that, we would take a stronger line than Vietnam, which is also, what shows that the enormous influence of the left on the country, hell up there. Let them bug out. The other point is this, critical one is that we're being caught crap here because the only way, I talked to the guys that we could have shifted one or two was to indicate to them that something is going on in negotiations, it might be hopeful, you know, the thing that Bacon is pushing along.
Yeah.
Now, so here we are, we're caught in a crack where any sensible man knows goddamn well if we're talking that it's hopeful. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking. And second, on the other hand.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking either.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm saying. We have men and a few others. They break off, we break off. The other point is that, for that man in a private channel, that's what matters. The private channel that matters. Public, and they've had 149 of them. The other point is that, on the one hand, we might win the vote by indicating that it's hopeful that they can make an arc in the East. On the other hand, the arc in the East, maybe, this is the real dilemma we're in, or if it means maybe encouraged by the vote of this. So what's our answer? I mean, I don't mean our public answer, but how do we get that out? Because we may have the same damn problem in the House, or if we can win in the House on this bill or on any other. But you see, we don't want to have the mark Vietnamese get encouraged by the lack of support in the Congress. On the other hand, the only way we can get more support in the Congress is to indicate that the negotiations at least have a chance for progress. There we are.
But the trouble is that if we make too much of it, the end result is that the North Vietnamese will make us fall on our face and guarantee a vote against us.
Later.
Well, 3 or 4 weeks later. Or 2 or 3 weeks later.
See, what we're looking at here is time. In terms of time, the Congress can't get enough as much vote. They'll be out of here by the 25th of September. Some suspicious go home.
My view is this, Mr. President.
George, and I'm not complaining about our tactics. I guess, as I can tell from my talk with poor old George Aiken and from the dialogue you had with him and what you had with McIntyre and what I heard from Carlos and the rest of it. Now they asked me if you can re-indicate that there's any hope.
You correctly defined it.
Any hope, and I said, no, you can't. I said, look, I said, if these bastards are too dumb to see that we wouldn't be talking in a private channel unless we had some hope, then we just can't talk. But my mind, you cannot quote us to the effect that there's any hope. That's why I laid it out awful hard for them, and we may have lost the vote because I was so hard on these guys.
No, because Because on the other hand, you have the problem that if they think there is hope, then you get the Messiahs and Curses and Company even more stirred up.
On the ground that they want to get ahead.
On the ground of what, you know, this phony argument that they want to have a partnership between the executive and the legislative, and that it isn't fair to the president to make him carry the whole burden. And you could almost cry when you hear Cook and Stevens, and I have them all in there, and I as much as told them there was progress last week, so I can assure you that even that argument doesn't
have the idea that the partnership, of course, this has always been true of science. And you know, it's a human thing, isn't it? It's like the cabinet, they might have a partnership too. But don't you and I know that there is no way you can have a partnership? But let me just say this, let's be quite candid. Even if we had Nelson Rockefeller, the Secretary of State, we couldn't let him out of this. You know that.
Because of
Nelson's a debriefer. I know Nelson
Rockefeller. He
said so.
Exactly.
He's not a leader, but he's a debriefer. He sits around with his staff.
No.
Now, we could tell Conley because he's such a conniver. You could tell Mitchell, but that's about the only two that I've ever told that haven't
Mr. President.
We don't even tell that.
And it's a phony argument. If they wanted to be partners, they should support your May 8th proposal. That way they could be partners. But to take a position different from our public position, and totally different from what's being negotiated, the one reason it won't do that much damage is because they're not that interested in getting our troops out anymore.
Well, the one main reason that really is reassuring to me is the Brook Amendment. Remember, I asked you that question again. I keep asking. Brooklyn. It's exactly the thing that you say they're never going to accept because, frankly, if they get the POWs for prisoners or for patrol, they give us the POWs for patrol, they realize that they don't have a hell of a weapon with which to get us to do other things.
If
the prices go up, they aren't willing to give up the POWs for withdrawal because the withdrawal is not their big problem at the present time. Suppose, let me put that case in another way. Suppose they say, we'll give you the POWs provided you stop bombing, stop mining, and withdraw. Why not? I agree with you. I just want to ask you what.
They want us to get rid of two.
There's the point. The point is, coming right down to it, they want us to do something politically that they cannot accomplish militarily.
They want us to stop to get rid of two, and they want us to stop military and economic aid to the South Vietnamese government. And until
that's in their proposal too. That's the broad proposal. I know it's just about your withdrawal, that's right. They don't stop the aid, do they?
No. So I had even played with the idea that in September Scott has a compromise proposal that strengthens the Brook Amendment a little more. We might even let that damn thing through, depending on how the negotiation. If we are at the verge of breaking it up, that's a good way of doing it. Put some Senate proposal to them and then let them turn it publicly, let them turn it down.
I must say,
although this amendment, the Brook Amendment, is impossible. That we can't do.
Well, the Brook Amendment is wrong morally. Yeah. All right, for Christ's sake, to tread, to get out, it's a shocking position to be. Getting out saying, look, we bought all this time just to get back the prisoners that they got.
The mistake we have made is that we haven't been tough enough on our opponents.
He wasn't complaining about you, he was complaining about Thias, but he said the fact that after him
told this to Wagner myself when he called me.
He called you yesterday?
Yeah, he called me from the flow either before or after he had talked to you, and I said, I asked him how did Matthias fall.
Yeah.
He told me, I said, well, that's one, that's criminal.
Good.
Not one.
He told me that he was not blaming you, remember?
No,
he was,
no, no.
He meant to try, but he just pissed off.
I blame myself.
I am, aren't you?
One goddamn.
You remember also, you did Percy let me, remember?
I know.
You got Percy and Matthias, and when it's either a divorce, Percy fought on a judge. Which we didn't need, as it turned out.
And when you got Percy, you confess you don't need him. He's with you when most of the Democrats are with you, too.
What is your, let me say this, you know, only God knows what's going to happen in the whole area of politics, but if we're not going to tell you, perfectly cold-blooded about it. we can take, mind you, almost anything, frankly, that we can force onto almost anything. I just don't know that. You know what I mean? Because I have a feeling we would not be doing like I feel about the Israeli. I feel that in the long run, we're probably not doing that. And it, a disfavor due to the fact that I feel that the North Vietnamese are so badly hurt that the South Vietnamese are probably going to do fairly well. But also due to the fact that as I look at the tide of history out there, South Vietnam probably never been surviving.
We've
got to be, if we can get certain guarantees so that they aren't, you know, looking at the foreign policy process, though, and you've got to be, we also have to realize, Henry, that winning an election is terribly important. It's terribly important this year. But can we have a viable foreign policy if a year from now, 2 years from now, North Vietnam gobbles up South Vietnam? That's the real question.
If a year or 2 years from now, North Vietnam gobbles up South Vietnam, we can have a viable foreign policy if it looks as if it's a result of South Vietnamese encounter. If we now sell out in such a way and say that in a 3 to 4 month period, we have pushed Brent Pugh over the brink, we ourselves, I think that is going to be, even the Chinese won't like that. I mean, they'll pay verbally if they like it.
But it'll worry them.
But it will worry everybody. And domestically, in the long run, it won't help us all that much because our opponents will say we should have done it 3 years ago. So we've got to find some formula that holds the thing together a year or two. After which, after a year, Mr. President, Vietnam will be a backwater. If we settle, let's say, this October, by January 74, no one will give a damn.
Yeah, having in mind the fact that, you know, as we all know, the analogy, comparison, Algeria is not on all fours. On the other hand, nobody gives a goddamn about what happened to Algeria after they got out. Vietnam, I must say. Jesus, they fought so long. God, no. I don't know. The North must have its problems. They're not supermen.
They have their problems. I would like, if I could tomorrow, Mr. President, to bring in more. And I would appreciate
it. I put it on the note here. I said, because I noticed in the news summary today, no flights over North Vietnam due to weather. Now, God, that can't be that
bad. Well, there are two things. There are no flights, very few flights. Secondly, they hit very few fixed targets. They say armed recce, we don't know where they are. I think they're staying away from the sands. I think they don't want to lose any more planes. And I think it's one of the hopes we've got is to smash them until they settle.
Can't you get into the day? I have a freer day tomorrow. Or he's not coming.
Let's see whether if he's coming over this afternoon to an MPFR meeting, I could bring him in around 4.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. President. Do you want to talk to John Marsh now? The operator's hiding now. Or do you want to wait until later?
Yeah.
Let's go. Hello. You called me for Mr. Marsh. Great job, and I appreciate it. I know this thing with the Wallace thing is hard, but without you, we to the island. This is just the Pete Lawson's old store. It's close as hell, and it's very close to flush. So I guess what I'm really concerned about is that we're sort of in the crack. We've got to do everything we can to preserve the possibility of a negotiation. And we have to have in mind that, you know, that our interests to preserve a negotiation are directly contrary to our interest in winning the vote. But I do feel that the votes don't have much effect on the negotiations, and that's what we have to balance.
I think that's right, Mr. President. Also, I think we are in a great position if we have to blow these negotiations, because we can say it the day after, I would say the first time, these bastards voted, the Democratic Congress voted. I know where 11 to the Republicans voted for them. The day after I get a...
Well, say the Congress.
The Congress.
Sure.
The day after I come back and report to you with the most comprehensive new piece also, they vote another one. So that we can use in September, but I'm not pessimistic. I think we have a chance of cracking this one. You see, if
we make any progress, Mr. President, you'll make your trip to Saigon.
See, if we make any progress by early September, if they want to settle by October, they have to put some meat into the other forums. As soon as these other forums talk about meeting things. You see, what I'm going to propose at the next meeting is that they can't have it both ways. They cannot pretend there's a stalemate and pretend that there's progress. If they want to settle by October, then at Klingbeil, at the plenaries, they should start discussing the content of the standstill ceasefire, conditional on the settlement of all other issues. They don't have to agree, they could make a condition. As soon as that happens, Mr. President, we're in a new ballgame. And they did not reject it. I proposed it this time, and they said, let's discuss it next time. But I showed these documents today, and you know how hardline he is. And he says this is the most comprehensive document you've ever had.
Look, we know we're doing the right thing.
But this is not your road. The Senate is going down a road that they don't want. See, I have absolute confidence that they'll never offer withdrawal of prisoners, never. This is, in effect, our proposal anyway.
Yeah.
That's the practical effect of our latest proposal.